Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're going to talk about how to connect to nature. Today we're talking about all of us becoming futurists, all of us taking a new step into a new world, and figuring out how we really want and need to be living on our amazing planet. So here's the thing. How to connect with nature. Our biggest issue all around is using our intuitive and healing skills, learning how to trust ourselves, learning how to release assumptions and even our arrogance about how the world really works and what our role in it is. So today I'm going to talk about mind, body, spirit aspects of connecting with nature. From talking with giant trees to inviting the ocean to play to blessing the rain on your way to work, and you're going to say, what? Why does that matter? And I'm going to tell you why it matters and why no one's ever actually done this in the history of the planet, which is why I'm inviting you all to become futurists with me today. And before I get started, I want to invite you, if you are listening live, to call in with your connections with nature or a question that you have, intuitive question. You can call 202-570-7057, or you can email me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's robinfritz.com. My work in the world is about helping people learn to tap their own intuitive and healing abilities. It is not a mystery. It is not a gift. It is something that we're all born with, and most of us walk away from because we think it's weird, it's strange, or we have no clue that these abilities exist in us at all. Or if we suddenly start tapping into them, we feel like, oh my God, I'm this or I'm that, and I'm special or I'm weird, and none of that is true. So we're going to get into that with the objective of helping you learn to love yourself as you learn to love the planet around you and to step into your true power as a human here on this planet, as a soul that has chosen the toughest job in the universe, which is being human. And as we get started today, as always, I want to open with a way to help you get grounded and balanced in the show with me today is by connecting with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, currently, sadly, in the shape of a crystal ball. Not what he was expecting or what I was, but that's what he is right now. Fallon is an ancient healer and truth bringer. And as far as I know, we are the only ancient human crystal partnership back in the world, at least publicly. So as you learn to tap your intuition, as you get grounded and balanced in the space with us today, you will feel Fallon connecting to you, either see pictures, hear him chat with you, feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected with him. And at the end of the show, we'll ground you back in because into your body, because doing this quick meditation and connecting with Fallon will open your crown chakra and may make you a little bit dizzy there at the top of your head. So imagine connecting to Fallon. It is safe. It is effective. It is quick. From emails I received from listeners, sometimes it happens the first time you listen to the show, sometimes the third. But when it does, you'll be connected to every show. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And now as you breathe up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your face, and the top of your head, just feel the cares of the day washing away. Feel yourself getting grounded and balanced in this space and giving yourself this time to connect with your innate, intuitive, and healing abilities and get some tips on how to make them even more powerful in your daily life. So today, again, I want to talk about how we connect with nature. And really learning to trust ourselves, releasing the assumptions and or even our arrogance about how the world lives and works and what our role in it is. And talking about what it means to connect to nature, why you would want to do that, and how we should go about doing that. I'm also going to share some really cool stories with you to give you some ideas of what happens when you do connect with nature. But I want to talk first about explaining what I mean by being a futurist. To me, a futurist is someone who sees a world unlike anything that we've experienced before and has a way for us to get to that world. And that world that we're seeing for us, that we can shape to work for us, really has to be a positive thing, or why would you even be thinking about the future at all? I mean, we're moving forward to create an even better and more powerful experience of our lives in the world, and by doing so, cooperating with our living, breathing, healthy planet. So here's the thing. It's a mindset that I call planetary connection. I've explained it before. I've done webinars. I've done workshops on it. I teach people in private mentoring sessions. It is not my idea. It's the name that I gave to what I saw after working with non-humans, from trees to weather systems to sidewalks to cars to homes and businesses to whatever's out there. The reality is that everything that you see around you is alive. Everything has a soul, has consciousness, has a job to do, a responsibility to do that job, a choice about doing that job, and opinions. The problem is we just don't think about it that way. We think, well, some things are inanimate. Well, in my experience, nothing is. We just don't seem to have the ability to connect with those things. And then you stop to say, well, wait a minute, we don't have the ability. And the truth is we don't have the desire, or we don't even have the idea that we can connect with things. I mean, after all, if you were out there walking around in the world, it didn't occur to you that you could talk to your home, that you could talk to the neighborhood grocery store, the business that is the store, that you could talk to the radio waves of my radio show. If you didn't know that was possible, or that you wouldn't pay any attention to it, you would just ignore it. And so for eons, humans have been walking around on the planet completely cut off from the idea that we can and do talk with other beings. We can and do connect with other beings. And today we're going to be talking specifically about connecting with nature. So when I say I'm a futurist and I'm inviting you to be a futurist, that is looking at the world and our place in it far differently than any other civilization, any other spiritual or religious mindset has done throughout the history of the planet. Now you're saying, but the ancient shamanic people, the ancient indigenous cultures, they were connected. Well, yes and no. They relied on a shaman who could connect them or pray to the elements or somehow influence other beings to be more open to what humans needed and wanted in the world. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is your ability as a human being, as equal with all other life on the planet, of being able to connect with all other beings on the planet and therefore contribute to the health and welfare of our living conscious planet. Everybody can do that, and everybody should be doing that to one extent or another. Yes, we all have busy jobs. This happens to be my job among the other things that I do on a given day or week or month. But every single one of us has a responsibility, and the pure, really open joy of being able to connect with the world around them. And here's why you'd want to do that. First of all, because you can. Secondly, because, you know, humans are lonely. We think we're all alone in the universe. We think that we're on top of it. We think that we're in charge of the planet, that we're guardians and caretakers. We set ourselves up to be lonely, which may lead to schizophrenia, mental illness, just weirdness, and really a lack, a really isolation, really cutting ourselves off from the life of the universe. And we're lonely, and we're looking for life in other planets, and we're looking for other ways to connect, and realizing that it's right there in front of you. It's just not human. Doesn't make it less, it makes it different. And when you look at these beings with respect and with interest and with curiosity, they look back and they're connected. I mean, why would they be interested in you if you don't even acknowledge that they exist? So if you're thinking, well, why don't I already have a connection with nature? Maybe it's because you're not letting nature give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that you're not making yourself open to having that connection with nature. So you want to have a connection with nature, because being cut off from experiencing the full realm of what's going on in the world around us makes us less than we could be. It makes us emptier than we could be. It means we have a less broad experience of the world around us. It means we aren't moving as easily as we can in the world. And that's important to being our best. To getting ahead in our jobs and our personal lives, living well and comfortably, having a connection with our home and our businesses. It also means that if we're ignoring our role as an equal with all life on the planet, it means that we're not dealing with the issues that we see surrounding us. Now, everybody's all hyped up about global warming, and I'm here to tell you that the issue is not global warming. It is ice age, and a coming ice age, rapidly approaching, always, always preceded by an intense, brief warming period. But how do you deal with those kind of issues? How do you know how to build a building to or a city to prevent erosion along the coastline? How do we know to leave our marshlands and our wetlands alone so that they are providing what they have done throughout history, the natural cleansing and the natural filtering that protects the rest of the continent from the influx of an ocean surge? How do we go about creating harmony with the planet? Well, I have some stories for you, and the quickest one I want to tell you, I know I've told before on this show, probably told before on this show, is a connection with Hurricane Ophelia, I believe back in 2005. It had been a year or so that I realized I could actually have a conversation with a hurricane. I was stunned at the time. I had no idea that was possible. The hurricane that I was connecting with, it was totally an accident. It was Hurricane Charlie on the East Coast. But then I started realizing that I could communicate with hurricanes. And being very curious, I would go and do the same thing I'm going to suggest you do today, give you a procedure for how to connect with things. But I'd simply introduce myself. And I started to realize that when a hurricane would act differently than the weather forecasters thought it should act, or the weather forecasters are saying, wow, this hurricane is just really unusual, then I could pay attention a little bit more closely and ask if it would talk with me, which was the case of Hurricane Ophelia. Well, by that time, we'd been through Katrina and Rita, and we'd seen what can happen when people aren't paying attention to what's going on with a hurricane, and when a hurricane is literally larger than we can handle with the way that we've constructed our cities and so on. So I was I was at, I introduced myself and she said, "I've been waiting to talk with you." And I was like, "Okay, what would you like to talk about?" And she said, "I'd like to show you how hurricanes work, what our job is." And those of us who live in the United States, certainly even Mexico in those days in 2004, 2005, we were very aware of how powerful and how frequent hurricanes were in those 2 years, and how much damage was left in their wake. Not that hurricanes cause the damage, because that's not their job. What Hurricane Ophelia explained to me was that hurricanes are cleansing forces, and they go over water and land to clear that area to keep things moving. And she showed me a giant soup pot and a woman stirring a soup pot, and the pot of soup was just getting sludgier and sludgier and thicker and thicker, and it was becoming increasingly difficult to stir that pot. And she said, "This is what's happening. This is what we're created to do. We moderate the weather. We keep the planet alive. We keep the ocean moving. We keep the air flowing." And she showed me hurricanes coming into the Gulf of Mexico, which borders the southern United States, and then stirring up the Gulf Stream, which then moves up the east coast of the United States up to the north and Iceland and so on. And what she showed me was that the Gulf Stream was slowing down and hurricanes were coming in increasing force to get that Gulf Stream moving again, and that if the Gulf Stream continued to slow, we'd have an ice age. And that's what terrified the hurricanes, not global warming, but an ice age. So several months later, an article came out, and hang on for, let me finish this just before we go to commercial. Came out in a Nature magazine showing 30 years of scientific research that proved the same thing that Hurricane Ophelia told me in 10 minutes. If you're a futurist, if you're someone looking to help the planet and helping humans survive, wouldn't it make sense to talk 10 minutes to a hurricane and ask it what we can do instead of waiting for 30 years of research to prove the point? That's what I'm talking about. We'll be back after the break to give you some more stories and some more ideas about how we can connect with nature.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramala Mitten. And we wanted to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, L.A., Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about how to connect with nature. So, think about it. We could spend 10 minutes talking with a hurricane and finding out what hurricanes do in the world. What does that get us? Well, after 30 years of scientific research, scientists discovered that ocean currents and wind patterns and blah, blah, blah. And after many years, they discovered that the Gulf Stream was slowing down. Okay, but talk to a hurricane, find out what they're doing. So hurricanes are here to keep weather flowing, to keep the planet alive. So why would you want to stop one? Why would you want a hurricane to go away? Now, we don't like what happens when hurricanes roll over us. We see buildings, we see sometimes people hurt, injured. We've seen terrible things. We've seen floods. We've seen all kinds of things that upset us. And I'm not discounting the pain of suffering through a catastrophic storm system of any kind or volcanic eruption or anything. I'm not talking about how horrible that is to live through and how frightening that is. I've been through that. I know what it's like. And I've seen people lose their homes. But the whole point of this is that we can't control things that we don't understand, and we shouldn't even be trying. So what we should be doing is creating a relationship with these beings so that we understand what their job is in the world. When we understand what their job is, then we can ask them what it is that we need to do to add our own contribution to the health and welfare of the planet that we all share. And I'll tell you the first thing that a hurricane will tell you to do, move into the cities and leave the coastal areas alone. Stay away from the Everglades here in the United States. Stay away from the marshy areas, which are the natural filtration systems of the planet. And let the hurricanes do their work. Get into big cities and pull your population together in big cities and reduce the size of your population. There are just too many of us to keep the planet healthy. So maybe reduce our growth rate. Maybe we look at how we're living in the world. When you start to realize how many people live on little tiny islands that simply can't survive even a major windstorm, let alone a hurricane, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing the right thing for our fellow citizens by allowing them to live in places that are that dangerous and then just paying them to rebuild? Or should we be coming up with ways that we can all figure out how we can live together? Because our planet is alive, it's always changing, and we need to start adapting to what's happening around us and how the planet actually lives. When we understand how the planet lives, then we should be sitting scientists down with people like me who can literally tell them what the other side is saying back to them. If Sarah had been scientists with me that day to talk to Hurricane Ophelia, how much more information would they have received to do their further experiments, to do their further research, to really move things along? And then what do we come up with? We come up with ways of building structures that can survive and adapt to a major storm, as well as sit lightly on the planet, meaning that they're not using and wasting resources, but cohabiting in a healthy manner that we can all get along with. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that really the definition of not just a futurist, but being an equal citizen of the planet all about? So let's go into a little bit more, you know, bringing it back to home, what we can do. Having respect for the world around us, being part of nature and not cutting ourselves off from it. Stepping lightly on the planet around us, being respectful to what we see. So some years ago, I was, excuse me, down in Oregon with my two Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, Murphy and Alki, and we were playing on the beach, Ocean, Cannon Beach in Oregon, Northern Oregon coast. And the dogs were playing, and they were not quite sure about the ways, but, you know, a little bit of water would come in, and they'd bark. And I was excited. I grew up going to the coast, so I'm, like, waving at the waves, like, come on, come on, let's have a nice, good wave. And whoosh, this big wave came rushing towards us. Not a big freak wave, but just a little bit bigger than normal. Very playful, clearly having fun with us. And the dogs were all wet and barking, like, will you stop that? You're getting us all wet. But we were creating this little fun little interaction with nature, with the ocean, and it was literally responding to us. And my friend that I was with was laughing at me. She said, well, you did invite the ocean to come play. I go, yeah, wasn't it great? It was awesome. You know, it wasn't trying to drown us. It was just trying to play, teasing the dogs and me. And later on that trip, we were driving down the road, and I said, oh, pull over here. And it was a little, just a little pull-out area, but there was an enormous Douglas fir tree there beside the road. Excuse me for my cough. And I love trees in particular, and I love really big trees, and I was considering moving to the Oregon coast from Seattle because I'd always loved being there at the coast. And I got out to have a conversation with this tree, and the dogs and my friend and her dog waited in the car. And I walked up to the tree, and the tree was so huge that I figured 10, 15 people could stand side by side with their arms out and encircle it. That's how big that tree was. And I started to talk with it, and I leaned forward as I was standing there, and the tree trunk, you know, isn't just up and down. A tree of that size, the tree trunk spreads out. So you're a ways away from it with its from its root structure before you can even touch the actual trunk of the tree. So I was leaning forward to touch the trunk of the tree. So I was literally at an angle. I was about 2 feet from the tree trunk, and I was stopped in midair. There was a barrier there. I could feel it. I couldn't get past it. And I was literally, if you'd been driving down by in a car, and I know my friend was looking at me from the car, it looked like I was frozen sideways. It's like I should have been falling over, but I was standing there, held away from the tree. And I was suddenly completely embarrassed. And I said, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I was apologizing to the tree. I said, I know better than to just walk up and touch you. I should have asked for permission. And the tree was like, you're darn right. You should have asked for permission. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. I was just so excited to meet you. I don't get to see big trees like you where I live. We have big trees, but not that big. And I was just so excited to meet you. And I wanted to talk to you and have a conversation. I did not mean to be rude. And the tree was like, okay, you're forgiven. Now you can touch me. And go ahead. And I'm like, okay, are you sure? And the tree goes, yeah, yeah, come on, touch me. So I leaned forward and I got to put my hand on its trunk, but not before being forcefully reminded that I was out of line. And so then I was having a conversation with the tree and invited me to bring the dogs over. And to this day, there's a picture in my bedroom of me and the two dogs sitting on this trunk or the root system of this tree at its invitation, mind you, grinning our faces off at just feeling enveloped in friendliness by this tree. And the conversation with the tree was like, I'd like to move to Oregon and live on the coast. And the tree said, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, but why? I love the ocean. I love the coast. And it said, no, the climate is too harsh for you here. You have health issues, and you would spend all of your time trying to stay healthy instead of doing the work that you came in the world to do. So come and visit, but don't move here. Well, I was pretty crushed by that, but I did thank the tree and I went away and I thought, well, that doesn't even make any sense. So I started researching. Even though I grew up going to the Oregon coast and I have lived here for many years, It didn't occur to me that the Oregon coast gets 70 to 90 inches of rain a year, where we here in Seattle or in the area of Oregon where I grew up get more like 38. So yeah, I know it's windy a lot at the coast and they get a lot of rain. I just never really thought about how much they got and how much that would impact someone who has health issues. So the tree was right and I was wrong. So how are you going to create a relationship with nature around you? You can actually talk with things and ask them what they need from you. Have you thought about that? This is a time of year where people are creating gardens, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. It's spring. Just yesterday, I completed potting up a few little plants. I now have I have a 6 foot by 3 foot wide deck. That's the only space I have for an outdoor garden, and that has to make room for me and my kids and a chair and all the plants that I crowd together. So I was really enjoying it last night as the sun was setting and just enjoying all the different plants and the work that I'd gone to in several different nurseries to talk with each plant and say, well, would you like to come and live in my house? And this is what it looks like. And some volunteered and some were like waiting for somebody else. They wanted to be in the ground, not in a pot, that kind of thing. No, so try that when you go shopping for plants. Which one of you wants to come home with me and which wants to go somewhere else? And you can run your hand over the air above a plant and ask which one is yours. And they'll jump out at you. They'll let you know which one is yours. And that's one part of how you can connect with nature. So, of course, what you need to do is learn how your intuition works. Because if you're trying to talk with things like I do and your intuitive ability runs towards feelings, that's not going to do you a lot of good. Eventually, most of us become adept at using all four of those main intuitive abilities, seeing, hearing, feeling, and knowing. But some people are stronger in one, and that's that, or one, or maybe two, and that's how they are through the rest of their lives. Some will vary over time. I get information in all four ways, and so by this point, I've learned to adapt, and the information comes as it will in any of those different ways. But I'm open to all of the different ways that it comes. So learn how your intuition works. So if you're out looking for garden pieces, that you're seeing them on your deck, you're feeling their emotions, you're hearing what they might have to say, or you just know that that is or is not the right plant for you. And then observe that. You can even run an experiment. I send people into the store all the time to buy the first fruit that doesn't appeal to them and the first fruit that does, bring it home, eat it, touch it, smell it. Everything that you use all your typical everyday senses with, and then figure out what was it in your intuition that said you wanted to eat that or you didn't want to eat the other thing. I mean, I think that's really how our ancestors learned what things were useful for them to eat and which weren't. But learn how your intuition works so that you can set up a relationship with nature around you. You don't need a shaman or a guru or even a professional intuitive like me. You just need to learn how your intuition works. And you need to mind your manners. Just like I've talked about in previous episodes where I talked about how to connect with your animals, learn the customs of the being that you're talking with. Now, that can be widespread. I mean, I've talked to oil spills, and I've learned in my time of doing that that there are different kinds of oil and they react differently in the environment, and learning which different kind they are determines how much help you can give them. Are you going to go out and help an oil spill? Maybe not, but how is connecting with the world on your daily life going to make things better? Well, you're sitting in your car at a stoplight waiting for the light to change and it's pouring down rain. And you're going to say, oh, thank you for raining today. And so you're in the middle of a 5-day storm and you're getting 20 inches of rain and you're going like, really? Is there a reason for this? How do I understand why we're getting 20 inches of rain? Nothing in the world is perfect, including nature. So we need to understand why things are happening the way they are. People say, oh, it's climate change. But really, climate change is a cop-out for living your life on a daily basis and learning how the world works around you. And yes, there are going to be extremes of temperature and climate change in terms of lots of rain in any particular situation or no rain. Planet fluctuates. It's alive. It's not static. Things change on a daily basis. Learning to adapt with it and learning to take it in stride is part of your connecting to nature. It's part of your looking outside and realizing that maybe we've isolated ourselves too much in our cities, too much in our homes, till we're not out experiencing what nature is really doing on a daily basis. The animals, the trees, the ocean here where I live. What is it doing and how is it doing it and how does that affect us and how do our actions affect it? And I can tell you, building right there on top of the shore where the waves are stuck and they run into buildings, what do you expect but your building to be destroyed? Instead, figure out ways that we can appreciate and live and enjoy our planet without making it harder for the planet to survive. But so minding your manners is understanding how the world around you works so that you understand why it's raining certain days and dry on other certain days and how that affects how you're taking care of the land that you live on or near. Be respectful and curious to other nature. That's why I told you the story of the tree literally holding me up in the air like, hey, Robin, you know better than that. What were you thinking? And I'm like, oh, my God, I needed to be basically shocked into being held suspended in the air to realize I was exhibiting poor behavior, bad manners. Also, practice common sense. Just what does it tell you when it's pouring down rain outside? What does it tell you? Oh, my God, February in Seattle this year was like living in the Midwest with two major snowstorms in 1 week. I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, please, what is going on here? It's, you know, it's the planet living and breathing. But how are we going to adapt to living in a snowy February as opposed to a dry May that we're having right now? More tips on how to get along with nature and a couple of cool stories after the break. Hang on.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about how to connect with nature. So again, I'm on a path of us all becoming futurists, of us all looking at new ways of living in the world. And that means what ancient and current shamanic teachers, gurus, spiritual advisors, and even professional intuitives like me will tell you, that connecting with nature, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to bow down and worship, and all that's bullshit. Because the truth of the matter is, every single one of us can and does have a relationship with the world around us. The question is, how much value do you attribute to that, and how are you going to live that value? And the first way that you connect, as I said before, is the concept that I call planetary connection, is recognizing that everything is alive, has a soul, consciousness, a job to do, responsibility, opinions, choice. Everything is equal to us. And when everything is equal to us, everything changes. We're not approaching the planet around us from arrogance anymore. We're approaching with humility. We're respectful. We're curious about other life. We first and foremost love ourselves and offer that self-love to the planet. It makes us softer in approach to other beings. It makes us less threatening to them. It also helps them realize that we are at last paying attention to them, which they have been waiting patiently for basically since we became humans. So we learn diplomacy. We learn to live comfortably with the world around us instead of holding it at bay like it's a wall in our house that we don't have to experience it. We also approach with patience. Some things are skeptical of us because we haven't paid any attention to them. We've treated them like they don't have consciousness, that they aren't alive, that they don't deserve our respect or consideration. And when enough things hear that from us, they just turn away and like, okay, they're never going to come around. And you lose a lot. You lose not just that ease of connection with the world around you, which helps make you better, fuller, more complete, more loving of yourself and others. It also helps you live more comfortably in the world, and the world more comfortably with us. And if we don't start doing that, people, we're going to use it up, right? And we're not going to be useful to the planet. There won't be a place for us here. So learn diplomacy. Learn patience. Learn to have good humor. Learn to relax around it. A sense of humor is always intriguing to other beings. When I tried to touch that tree that day and it held me away and I was so shocked, we ended up laughing together. And it, you know, teased me. It was like, come on, you know better. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I'm so sorry. And I was being like rude, but you know, how do I make it up to you? You know, and it was like, bring your dogs over and sit down and let's have a conversation. Believe that you can connect with nature around you, that it's not only possible, but necessary for us to grow in the world, necessary for us to take the steps to make the world a better place for us and for other beings in it, because each one of us, regardless of the body we're in, we're here as equals on this planet, and it's our job to make that contribution of helping the planet be its best. And that is living lightly on it, you know, learning what it is that we can do less with less of, and learning what we can do to make contributions. If we started communicating with other beings, imagine what we could learn, like the story about Hurricane Ophelia and the hurricanes. What could we learn about buildings that live and breathe with the environment instead of polluting it? How do we create cities where people can live and yet not destroy what's around them? How do we live in harmony with other beings? What do we take away that we don't need? And what do we add that we can contribute to? We're all futurists. Let's look at the world as a place of equal cooperation between all life and see where that takes us. It could be amazing. You know, it isn't just people like me talking in the dark. The only thing weird about what I'm talking about is that you're thinking that it is, that letting yourself fall into the trap of being narrow-minded and skeptical and missing out on living life full out. So here's a simple procedure. get ready to go introduce yourself to a tree, to your home, to your car, to your garden. You get grounded and balanced. You create a shield around yourself so that only that thing that you want to talk with is there and not other things that might mess you up. Make sure you always have a strong spirit guide around you 24/7 to filter out the things that you don't want coming at you. And there are things out there that would willingly and definitely hurt you, regardless of whether you're paying attention to them or not. So ground, balance, shield, get your spirit guide on board. Introduce yourself to that tree, that garden, that whatever. Ask if they're willing to talk with you. Sometimes they're like busy or not interested. If they are, ask if they have a name. Share your name. Names are power, but names are also ways of becoming friends. Ask questions about things you're curious about. Write down the answers. When you're done, thank them for sharing with you and say goodbye. So it's a simple procedure. Basically, what does that sound like? It sounds like meeting another human being that you've never met before and minding your manners. So let go of our preconceptions about the world around us and grab for some new ones. Let's employ body, mind, and spirit to have a relationship with the world around us before it's too late for us, before we pass away into some other place where we just live our lives in little boxes and we miss out on everything that we could be experiencing and contributing to. Does the rest of the world miss us? Yes, they do. They've pretty much given up hope that humans are ever going to come around and realize they're even out there. But think about what we could do if we could literally have a conversation with the ground beneath our feet, with air above us, with the water around us, with the fire of creativity, with all of the elements of nature stepping in and giving us their impressions about living in harmony together. So let me tell you a last story, or at least one more story. A friend has built what she calls a sanctuary garden, land that they bought and that they rehabilitated from being basically a dumping ground for their neighbors. Sensitive land next to the ocean. And they built a native habitat there. It was a huge piece of land, and I was visiting out there last year. And there was, while we were out in the garden and taking a look at, well, it wasn't really a garden then, it was just, it was actually 2 years ago, it was just this big area that they purchased, and they were trying to figure out what was there and what was going to go in, and, you know, working with a city to, you know, make sure that they had, were working properly and developing it properly, so that it could be this essential piece of healing for the land around them that it needed to be, restored it to its natural condition. So we were in, suddenly this huge windstorm blew up, and it was just making this terrific racket. And I was trying to talk to the stand of trees there. My friend was in a different part of the garden, and I couldn't hear the trees talk to me or even concentrate because the wind was like being in the, standing in front of a jet engine taking off. It was just disorienting. So I said, okay, I don't want to interfere with what this storm needs to be doing, but for just a moment, just a minute, 1 minute in human terms, could everything stop so I can hear the trees? And abruptly the wind stopped dead right where we, where I was standing. The trees, everything, just, there was no wind in that area. And I quickly looked at my friend to see if she noticed, and her back was turned. She didn't notice. Wind was still blowing where she was. But it gave me 1 minute to ask the trees what they wanted to do, what they were thinking, what kind of things, input they wanted. And one of the things they wanted was to stay. They didn't want to be taken down. And my friend was saying, well, they thought they would have to do that because of this, that, and the other thing. And as it turned out, the trees got to stay. And it was just one example of communicating with nature and finding out, well, what is it that you would like? And how can we accommodate that? And what does that mean? And what does that look like? And Wow. Just think, if we were actually having real conversations with the world around us, what would our buildings look like? What would our modes of transportation be like? What would we be eating? How would we grow our food? What would that mean to the rest of the world around us? You know, we're pushing everything aside so that humans can grow and grow and grow. And it's like there's too many of us. And if we pulled back and had fewer of us and, you know, let some of these places be healed from all the damage, all the garbage that we built up, what would it look like? How would it be? You can find that out for yourself on a daily basis, just in your own neighborhood. What is it that's working there and what isn't working? And what could you do to make it better? And how do you find that out? By asking the sidewalk, by asking the trees. For me, asking the ocean or the rocks there or the eagles that fly by or the crows or even my little deck garden. Which of you guys likes your pot and which one of you wants to go to my friend's house where you get to go live in the sanctuary garden? Well, we're going up Wednesday to visit our friend. Ollie, my dog, gets a playmate with his Cavalier King Charles Spaniel friends up there in a gigantic yard. And several of my plants are going with us because they wanted to be part of the sanctuary garden. And I'm like, okay, see you guys. Have a good life. So what are you going to do to change your mindset so that you believe that you are capable of having a connection with nature, one that matters to you, to your family, one that matters to your neighbors in your city, that matters to your country? What matters when a windstorm comes through? What could you do to deepen your connection with nature, and how would that make you feel? I personally guarantee that opening yourself up so that you can feel one with nature as opposed to disconnected or outside of it or superior to it or just not understanding it, but literally allowing it to tell you what its job is and what it does and inviting you to help it in some way or to even understand it will make your life better. I know it seems maybe that I'm being esoteric and saying, thank the rain for coming on a rainy day. Thank the sun for shining on a sunny day. Thank the sun for setting so that everybody can go to sleep. But all of those things are part of creating a connection with nature, which we have lost over hundreds of years of developing civilization. I'm not against civilization. I love civilization. I'm the first one to admit I love my car and I love electricity and I love heat in the winter and fans in the summer. Even air conditioning, which is a rarity here in Seattle. But there are ways that we can live easily with the world around us and really have our lives enriched by connecting with nature. Next time, my show is, if I have not explained before, is going to the first and has been going to the first and third Mondays of the week. So next time I'm going to share some more stories with you. Talking more about animals on June 3rd, that your animals have jobs and what it means. On June 17th, how to create a relationship with your crystals. And I want to tell you how to find me. I offer personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, soul progression clearing, which is a way of clearing out blocks and filling you up with healthy energy, past life and between life regression, mediumship, talking with our dead humans and animals. You can find me at my website, robinfritz.com. You can email me with questions for the show. But I want to leave you with one last quick story about connecting with nature. So I was reading a book on witchcraft because I was curious about what witches were. And there was an exercise in there on cloud busting. You were supposed to sit and bust up a cloud. And I thought, like, what? Why would anybody want to do that? But okay, Robin, quit being prejudiced and do the exercise. So I sat on my deck and I looked up at a cloud. There was a cloud going by. And I looked at one section of the cloud and I told it to break off from the other cloud. And it did. It backed off and the cloud kept going forward. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I took my attention off of it and it caught up again with the cloud, and then I made it back up again. So I was busting up a cloud, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous, and it was embarrassing, and I was ashamed of myself, and yet I did it. And then the cloud said to me, "What is wrong with you? You know better than that. Why are you interfering with us? This is my job. I belong as part of that cloud system, and you're interfering with a whole weather pattern in the area." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And that's the way we should be. Not sorry for living on the planet, but sorry for interfering with the natural process. Instead, I'm inviting you to be a futurist, to jump in and ask the world around you, "How can I make a contribution that benefits all of us as equal beings here on the planet?" Because I really think that's part of our job as all beings on the planet. It's our one job to contribute to all of life so that we have a healthy planet and that we take our proper place as equals, not above or less than. So I want to thank you for joining me today. Again, for my services, contact me at robinfritz.com. You can email me at my website with questions you'd like me to cover in future shows. Now, to get grounded and balanced back into your body, put your hands on your heart, cross your hands over your heart, breathe in healthy energy, allow yourself to just sever that connection with Fallon, go about your day. Thank you for joining me. We'll be back here again on June 3rd. Take care.